This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. Nothing. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia live on Twitter, X, or X spaces. Sometimes, maybe, once in a while. Joe will eventually get that right again someday. 65-60 loss against Georgia Tech on the road for Syracuse. It'd be a quad three loss. Not exactly what we were all hoping for after a big win at home against Carolina, but this is, I guess, what we deserve. And they dropped three spots in the net. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it. We all watch the game. There's not too much analysis to go around, but I think we do have some things to say, and we're going to say them. And we'll get into some of your feedback, too. I have to probably filter through some of the comments, I would imagine. People weren't extremely happy with the outcome of the game, and also not just that, but think the disappointment. You expect a little bit more. Hope for the best, expect the worst, maybe to some extent, but just the inconsistency, I think, is gnawing at people, and I'm one of those people. So, all right, without further ado, let's take a listen to what Coach had to say following the loss.
Par four game, like we expected. I thought, the difference in the game was their rebounding, which, you know, we talked about that. You know, they're a very good rebounding team. Their rebounding, you know, was a difference. You know, the second chance opportunities that they got, whether it was a drive or a foul, especially late in the game. And then I just thought offensively, we just, 60 points is not enough. And then I thought we missed some easy ones at the end. Some not easy ones, but some shots that we needed to make and we didn't make them. But I think ultimately it just came down to we shot a lot of threes. I think we had the. That's not a good recipe for us right now, shooting that many threes. But it comes down to rebounding. I mean, the difference, 49-28, that's the difference. That was the game right there. We have to do a better job battling on the glass, as we move forward. So That was it. Questions.
With Naheem out for the rest of the year and Benny's gone, is a rebounding an issue you're going to be worried about going in basically every game down the stretch?
It was an issue even when we had those guys. I mean, it wasn't that big of an issue because we had bodies. But obviously, you know, rebounding is definitely going to be an issue for us. You know, it's just what it is. We have to battle more. We have to get five guys in there rebounding. Again, we talk about it every game. We got to get our guards in there rebounding. You know, it just can't be one guy. You know, it has to be everybody getting in and rebounding. And today, you know, again, when you see this bigger difference in the numbers and the rebounding, a lot of times it's because we didn't shoot the ball well. You know, we didn't shoot the ball well, so they were able to get some rebounds on that end. But we got to do a better job. I know late, you know, that was the difference. You know, we got them to take some shots, they missed them, and they got the rebound back.
Yeah, Brad, at one point there late in the second half, Chris Bell seemed to have a moment over on the bench. He seemed upset. Quadir's talking to him. What was going on in that moment?
You know, Chris, you know, Chris, kind of, he gets upset with himself, all right? He gets upset with himself to the point where, you know, we try to, you know, get him back focused on what we need to do. You know, he's very hard on himself, and I can respect that, you know. But, you know, we got to move on to the next play. And that's all that all was about, you know. Forgot what happened. I don't know if he missed a shot or something happened. And, you know, he was getting hard. He was down on himself, and Quadir was just trying to get him refocused.
All right, so immediately following the game, I mean, we'll talk about the things that Syracuse can control and should control, and, you know, we'll go from there. But, you know, a ton of threes taken. I think I saw a tweet from Mike Waters when Syracuse hits four or less threes, they're like 1 in 5, and just not enough shots made there. And you went, when you're not shooting at a decent clip and you're taking 25 of them and hitting 16%, I mean, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. And obviously on the rebounding end of things, negative 21 on the glass. And, you know, you can't win games like that. If I was just to look at that, I would say, well, we probably lost that game. So just not consistent. I know people are frustrated with that. Joe was a little bit worried coming into this game. They might just struggle just because of the pattern that we've seen this year. And, you know, it's just an up and down. It's a very, it's a roller coaster ride with Syracuse basketball right now. And you know, yeah. I guess for me, Joe, it's kind of one of those things when you struggle and, you know, we gave up on, I mean, at least for me, I can speak for myself when I say, I think I kind of just came to the terms of the fact that Syracuse isn't going to have much of a postseason in regards to, you know, the much. Okay. Let's just say that. And, you know, when they go out and they beat a North Carolina team, albeit at home, doesn't matter. They go out and beat the seventh ranked team in the country. And, just the fight and the energy and just everything and being able to rebound decently enough in that game to hang. Just, you know, you could be negative on the glass, and Syracuse is a good enough team with a lot of talent, and I think that they could overcome the boards if they keep it close. But you hope that that drives some momentum going into a couple of road games and just for the final leg of the season, being able to pull out some wins to just at least get yourself in the conversation again, right? You go to Georgia Tech and, you know, we're up on this high off of this big win, and then splat, you know, it's like, just not 22 for 60 from the floor, just not hitting shots, and you know, not getting to the line enough. I mean, honestly, you got to get the calls, but just they were there. I think they just weren't being called. And Syracuse's game, getting to the line and being able to be a distraction and get people in trouble and make them maybe pull back just a touch and make it a little bit just that much easier for our guys to get to the rim. And It just yesterday wasn't happening. And you can't will it, but You resort to shooting some long shots and some bad shots. Quaidir would trying to pull off some circus stuff. And dude, sometimes he does. So I don't mind him trying. But,
right.
But there's the time and a place for that kind of in a sort of way. You know what I mean? So those are the things I feel like, I know they're in Syracuse's hands and that they just didn't do good enough yesterday to pull off a win on the road.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's pretty easy when you watch it, when you look at it. You know, we know we're not a great rebounding team, but we do other things that we can make up for, especially, you know, we've proven it against teams that, you know, aren't as good as us this year. And this was obviously our worst loss, even though it was on the road this year. You know, it just sucks because, again, like what you spoke about, it's just like coming off of North Carolina, you're like, okay, if we can go plug off, you know, five more in a row, then that changes the outcome of this season. And now after, and again, technically, mathematically, not over.
Right.
But after last night, it seems as though it's like, okay, like it seems like that's going to be the one, you know, that takes us down, you know? And I mean, again, too, I mean, how do you move up in the net?
Well, it's very difficult.
I'm just saying we're 91st.
Right.
We beat North Carolina. We go, what, 85?
Well, we moved up, I think, five spots.
I think it went 91 to 85. And then before the game yesterday, we went up to 87, I'm assuming, based upon because of other things that our opponents have done. And then we lose a road game, and now we're – okay, we're back – now we're 90. We're back to 90.
Yeah.
Like, it's just – to me, it's kind of ridiculous, and it's just – I don't know. I mean, almost as ridiculous as those refs yesterday. And again, I don't like, I mean, you've spoken about it before. You know, we've talked about how we don't think the refs are great.
Facts, yeah.
But at the same time, if, you know, like what you spoke about, you know, yeah, the refs might not have been great at Wake Forest, but we weren't winning that game. Well, we lose that game by like 29 points or something like that, right?
So we mentioned the refs, but we know that's not the difference. That was not the difference in the game because Syracuse just didn't play good enough.
Yeah, and realistically, I mean, Georgia Tech, they had enough second chance, you know, opportunities just based upon rebounds. But they didn't need, you know, they didn't need the help of the refs. You know, it's just, it's to
the,
me.
The timing, too. It's the timing of the poor officiating.
I mean, there's that, but again, you're not calling the same exact things down on the other side of the floor, right? I mean, we saw Quadir Copeland. You know, I mean, he had there's a couple bad calls on him. There was definitely a bad call on Malik Brown, the one you shared on Twitter. I mean, he hit all ball and then dude grabbed his arm. You know, it's just, I think they missed what? They missed the out of bounds play. There was a charge, you said. There's multiple plays where I thought our guys got fouled or there should have been and ones and they didn't call it. You know, okay, we made a tough layup, but it was like and one, like obviously didn't call it. You know, but to your point, we had a lot of open shots and we had free throws we missed. So again, there were things that we could have done to probably take that game pretty easily.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm not even going to point to the foul shots, the percentage at 70%, and it's not where I like to see it. And, you know,
not that's awful, though.
It's not, but right, it's not terrible. 12 for 17. My problem is the 17. I feel like we should have had more opportunities at the line. And right when the broadcasters who don't have an ounce of, by the way, one of them's a Georgia Tech alum, that have not an ounce of honesty in their profession, talking about, oh, well, they're letting them play. And then Malik Brown gets a ticky-tack, crappy reach and foul, like almost immediately after they're banging against Syracuse on both ends of the court. We've had two games. We've had three calls against us on out-of-bounds balls in the last two games. Within 2 minutes, where every time they went to the monitor, Syracuse is 3-0 in reversing that call. Okay. So, I mean, look, those aren't easy. I get it. But I mean, that is very lopsided. Okay. The two against North Carolina and the one against Georgia Tech. The Malik Brown reach in at the end where he hit all ball there and then had his arm grabbed. I mean, the ref that called that had a straight on view of that play. Like, he was right there. How that gets called is beyond me. And what we can talk about, you know, Syracuse needs to do a better job of rebounding. Syracuse shot too many threes and their percentage was god-awful at 16%. And we could talk about all that, but when the game is close, I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, the game was close enough to still win despite all of that. So the game is still close enough to win despite poor shooting being negative 20 plus on the boards. And you still got a shot to win, and the officiating comes down to like the most, like just obscenely frustrating level of officiating.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to point to that. I mean, it's the first time this year where we were seriously affected by officiating. And I believe they tried their hardest in the dome against North Carolina. Just Syracuse just willed that through. They just were going to make it happen, and they did.
Right.
But on the road, you know, it's just tough, man. It's really hard. Joe, you brought up before we came on, it's really hard to not be a little jaded about ACC officiating. It even crept into lacrosse. We've talked at nauseam about football the past few years, and now, you know, the lacrosse team gets jobbed on an awful call where pushed in the crease on a goal and the goal was eliminated. So, I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah, they looked at it too.
they changed. Was that the rule change? Because they didn't used to look at that. There was a playoff game, I think last year, the year before, where someone got jobbed in the playoffs and they started looking at that. So
yeah.
In overtime. And it was the same situation. Mm-hmm. And they looked at it and they still determined that they took the goal away. It makes things not fun. I talked in the last episode about watching soccer, and I joke. But, you know, one of the reasons I don't really watch soccer is I don't really know the game that well. And I feel like when I'm watching college basketball, sometimes I'm just like, I mean, I'm over the backs are like almost every play on almost every rebound.
Right.
They don't even freaking really call it anymore. I mean, are we calling the felonies? Are we calling the misdemeanors? Are we calling both? Like, I mean, there's gotta be some kind of consistency to this, at least from officiating team to officiating team. And you and I have talked about accountability and officiating. There's absolutely none that I know of. And it's just, you know, when we talk conspiracy talk about officiating, I mean, and the stuff that happens, we're like, I mean, it just fuels our fire for making those comments. So anyway,
I mean, there's a human nature aspect to it as well, right? Like, just like when they talk about like baseball and the umpires behind, you know, behind the catcher and calling balls and strikes, right? Like, everybody is a little bit different for everybody. Now, yeah, I mean, 90% of them should probably all be strikes or all be balls, but there's that little factor, you know, and it is difficult. You have to, it's bang, bang. You know, nobody likes the whistle to be blown 2 seconds after a foul. You know, and it makes it look like they're trying to make up for something, or, you know, so you try to be as accurate as possible, as fast as possible. But
in basketball, is a little quicker than football.
Yes, and it's difficult. I'm not saying it isn't or isn't, but I mean, to have it a situation to be so different that, like, a different officiating crew at that game yesterday, and we win by 10.
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, maybe not that much, right? Yeah, but I mean, again, it was one of those things where
we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. I mean, obviously, you hit threes, then we would have won anyway. But I'm just saying that, you know, that specific. There's not too many crews, you know. The way they called the game yesterday goes exactly against the way that we need to be able to play. Because we like playing aggressive. We create turnovers. We still created 17 turnovers. We know Kadir and Malik like to get a little, you know, little handsy with trying to poke stuff away and everything like that. They're really good at it. And on top of that, we're not deep. So if we get an officiating crew that's going to call those, and then we're going to be in foul trouble. Well, and then you wonder why we're giving up layups or we're giving up rebounds because we can't be as physical because we can't have people foul out. I mean, then that's going to be a problem. You know, Malik Brown had no business fouling out yesterday. Even that and one that they called, the Miles Kelly made the layup and Malik Brown went up. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, if that's a foul, okay, I get that. But then that means you missed five or six and ones
exactly.
on us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's inconsistent.
That was what's frustrating. Yes, the inconsistency of it is what's frustrating.
Yeah.
And why? Because they weren't poking their hands in?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were playing pretty physically, and, you know, I think that Judah gets the short end of the stick a lot of times on this stuff because, I mean, every official out there knows what his game is. That shouldn't affect your call, though. Like you can't let that affect us. The same thing with like Dungy back in the day. And sometimes we saw it with Schrader, you know, he's a very physical guy. He's a runner. He's putting himself out there. Well, you know, you still can like have illegal nasty hits or late or whatever, you know, coming when you're talking about sliding or when you're out of bounds. Right. I mean, we've seen all that so many times. Like you don't give those guys the benefit of the doubt anymore because I guess, you know, in your mind, they're putting themselves out there. So they become just, you know, I don't know, but there is like that human element that you're talking about.
Yeah.
At Joe Catskill, refs didn't help, but Cuse missed missed two front ends of one and ones, in the second half. McHugh's missed one in ones that could have been the difference. Love this team, but they need to play to their potential. The thing between Bell and Copeland didn't look good either. Go Orange. We need some wins now. Hey, look, two other things from the montage real quick. Coach said rebounding it was an issue even when they had the guys, and then he walked it back. But the truth is, it still was. Like, yeah, we had the bodies, but it still was an issue. Like, rebounding all year has been an issue. Rebounding for the past 3 years has been an issue. Like, that's not, you can have as many bodies as you want out there. If you're not grabbing rebounds, rebound is an issue.
Right.
They do show signs of life, though, every once in a while. The Chris Bell thing, as he mentioned, you know, look, we've talked about Chris Bell's body language, and I'm glad that coach had that. I'm glad that he was asked that question. I think it was Mike Waters. And to kind of clear that up, because I wondered if Bell was just down on himself a lot of times, just feeling like, you know, just upset with himself for something that he did or missing a shot or whatever. And that's fine. Like I can appreciate that, in a player, but, like coach says, you got to put it behind you and move on. And you know, that's cool that I think, you know, Copeland is out there, you know, coaching him on, hey man, let's just get back in it. Right.
Yeah.
So that explains a little bit of that. Cause we've had some talks about that recently. So,
yeah. Well, and then that's difficult too, because, you know, there's not a lot of players that can handle themselves like Malik does for the most part. You know what I mean? He handles his emotions throughout the game, whether it's good or bad, win or loss, pretty much, you know, standard across the board, same way. And it's not bad to be an emotional player. You know what I mean? Because you can get pretty pumped when it comes to stuff like that, right? So, but. You know, it's like when you're doing good, you're super emotional. When you're doing bad, you're super emotional. Either way, body language doesn't look great. And if you have too many of those on your team, then that can be difficult to navigate as well. I'm not going to go as far as calling them prima donnas, but, but yeah, it's definitely, it's difficult. And sometimes it just isn't a good look, through the TV.
At Caesar 18. I see what you did there. Said it all year, worst shooting team in the history of college basketball. Now, this is absurdly hyperbolic. Start a kid who isn't a non-major D1 basketball player. Backups can barely chew gum and walk. I mean, that is a ridiculous take. I'm sorry. I haven't proofread these, so. At Renegade Pumpkin, I totally disagree with that, obviously. Get an effing rebound. Such cocky, lazy, entitled behavior, and I never speak negative about these teams. So much talent, but so much ego. I don't know. There's probably a couple of those in Facebook, too. Look, I don't think they're cocky and lazy. I do think that, you know, there's times where teams go into a place and regardless if it's on the road or at home, and they just take take things for granted, you know, instead of being motivated. And they're entered the same energy that they played with against North Carolina, they did not play with last night, yesterday evening, whatever. So,
yep,
that is something that is a mindset. They were ready for UNC. That was a revenge ticket. Like they, you know what I'm saying? That was something they were like, look, we got our asses waxed. That cannot happen. And they came out and they executed. And they just didn't do that yesterday.
No. They showed up to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech the same way that North Carolina showed up to Syracuse to play against them.
Pretty much. Yeah, almost exactly. Yeah, exactly. At No Blanchard 44, this loss seals the season. Worst officiated game all year. Things will be different next year. I agree with, but I don't know if it seals the season. I try to keep hope alive for myself and for everybody listening, but it doesn't look good. I do think it was a terribly officiated game for something that close. And, you know, those things are going to happen. Be thankful, I guess, that some of these close ones that we did win, I think Miami was a close one. Like, some of the officiating was really good all year, I felt like. And, you know, you're going to get those. And that's kind of why... You know, you can point to the mistakes made, and if you're still that close, there's a lot of things to look at to say, well, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right?
So. Yeah. Well, and again, too, I think that it has to do with how important the game is, who it was playing against, the fact that, you know, now we got pulled back into being excited about possibly having a chance to make the NCAA tournament, and then, you know, that game happens. And so I feel like it's a lot easier at this point in the season to be that mad at the refs when it comes to that. But again, there we definitely shot ourselves in the foot in certain aspects to where we could have still overcame the refs.
At T.Business, if you expected anything else, that's on you. Just a really bad team that was scorching hot shooting on Tuesday. Besides that, a really bad team. I don't think they're a bad team. I think there's a lot of talent on this team. I think that there are some holes, and that's putting it lightly. Malik Brown fouling out, you know, when was the last time Malik Brown fouled out, and how many times has he fouled out this season for being put in a position like he's been put in? He could easily be fouling out almost every game.
Oh yeah.
And he's not.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. you can't say it's a really bad team. Like you got guys playing out of position, and you know, there's probably some Justin Taylor comments, bro. Justin Taylor has not done anything lately. When this dude throws up a ball, I'm just like, I cringe, and I'm sorry, but he's got to be better. He's got to be better.
They were daring guys to shoot yesterday.
He gave up some wide open ones. Had the confidence in himself to do it.
He went 1-7 and didn't get a rebound. So again, it's, you know, I mean, Tyler on Facebook, when you go 4-25 from three and get out rebounded by 21, there's no reason to keep Bell in the game. He averages 2 rebounds a game. Pathetic. At least he got a rebound.
By the way, he's come on lately. You want to look at his season average. Yes. Chris Bell is, I mean, I don't like that take at all either, because I think Chris Bell needs to be out there whenever he can. I mean, if he's not dog ass tired or whatever, he needs to be out there. There's no doubt in my mind. And his defense has gotten way better the past few games. I mean, just the energy of it. It's the effort of it, I should say, has gotten better the past few games. Too little, like, you can criticize that. Like, what took so long, or how come now all of a sudden? Feel free to criticize that. But to criticize him as, you know, he needs to not be on the floor. That's absurd. I'm sorry. At David Super, we go from 62 versus one of the best teams in the country to 37 versus that shit team. We sucked. We sucked real bad. Also, we got screwed by that officiating crew. However, I can't blame the refs too much. Play better so you're not in that position late in the game. Okay. Deep breath. F. Yeah, but I totally agree with David. He's always like the level-headed guy in the room, right? But, you know, if you really, you can play devil's advocate with it, because through all of that bad play, like I said earlier, we're still in it. And if the officiating was a little bit more consistent on both sides of the ball, we probably can pull that off.
So, no, yeah. I mean, if you just shoot 30% from the three-point line, you know, we hit three more threes, we win that game, right? So, no, no. Yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, and Taylor too, right? Dave on Facebook, why is Taylor playing? Seriously, though, great guy and teammate, so I'm not trying to be a weenie to the kid. I just got to be missing something Red sees, and I'm genuinely curious as to what it is.
I mean, he does things defensively he has done things defensively throughout the year that I feel like garnered the minutes he was playing. He just wasn't hitting shots, but he wasn't taking a lot either. Yep. If he's not doing things defensively, then I don't know why he'd be out there either, because he's not hitting shots. He's got to be doing one or the other. If he's not doing either one, then
I mean,
he only played 14 minutes yesterday, Joe.
Right. I know. And I mean, I'm at the point now, you know, like Brad said, you know, Red should have pulled Taylor earlier. His confidence is shot. I mean, Taylor came in dubbed as a great jump shooter. And
yeah, we were excited, really excited about Taylor.
Yeah. And, you know, people want to, you know, bang on Chris Bell. But if Chris Bell gets a sliver to get that ball open, he can hit him. Right. I mean, he's up and down sometimes. He only went 2 of 7 yesterday. But I mean, Taylor's wide open. Taylor's wide open sometimes, and it doesn't seem like he's damn coming close. And I'm not saying that to be mean. It's what I see.
I know. And I mean, at some point there's just a level of honesty, and it's not to say that he can't or won't, it's that he's not. And I guess with that said, you know, he's got to get better. He's got to get better if this team's going to get better. And I mean, I'm not even talking about this year. I'm not. At Kimberly, I picture you ducking behind a large object when you post this some nights. The thoughts on the game. Yeah. It's me. Definitely. We catch hell. Sometimes I don't want to post it, but we just always do. So it's what we do, I guess.
Top fan David, he says, does anyone else watch...
Thank you, David.
Does anyone else watch CW on mute?
A lot of criticism on the CW. You know, it's not the best, but it's not the worst. Do you remember when the ACC network first launched? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's gotten way better. Way better.
And top fan Michael, the CW production crew has been... trash for the two games we had them this year. They regularly don't update the scores and fouls in a timely manner, plus the horrible stream quality.
I didn't have problems with the stream yesterday. I've heard a couple of those comments. I haven't seen it. I didn't notice it yesterday. I thought it was fine. But, I mean, maybe my internet's just better than yours.
Yeah, top fan Robert, same thing. First, they're top fans for a reason, man. So, you know. The broadcast crew on the CW is excruciating. Rebounding, free throws, three-point shooting. This team is an adventure. Very confusing. And off of that, Jeff Barrett said, if I heard get downhill one more time, I was going to throw the TV.
I mean, they were bad. They were bad. I don't even know their names. I just know one of them was a Georgia Tech alum, because that came out. That information squeaked out during the broadcast. So at Mike S74855165. I used to criticize Boeheim for playing 6-7 guys. It took him down. Now Red is doing it. Early in the year, we used 9-man rotation. Now he's playing maybe 7. Cuff is way better than JT. Play Hema. Play Patterson. 16% from 3 shooting is a junior high school number. Just forfeit all the road games. Dude, does he not pay? Does Mike. Do you pay attention to what's going on with the roster this year? Do you have... Come on, Mike. Come on. He's playing 6-7 guys because we only have 8. So, I mean, what the hell kind of comment is that? It's so dumb. I didn't say you're dumb. I said that was a dumb comment. before we get that DM. Yeah, you know, refs suck. Trash, pathetic. You know, it kind of goes on and on. There's a lot of comments here. But at M Primo. 11, What an embarrassment. 4 for 25 from three. Can't rebound. Same shit. Different day. I can't see how things will get better next year with the same group. Doesn't matter what freshmen are coming in. We need three things. A center and a legit three-point shooter and a coach that can coach centers. We need a center.
Yeah.
We need a center.
Yeah.
That's what we need. That's what we're missing.
We need that. We need a facilitator. We need some shooters.
Well, I think Copeland's decent facilitator.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he is too. You know, like to what Jake said on Facebook, just got exposed inside. Brown is not a center. JT and Copeland are not power forwards. Give credit tech for having an actual game plan. So what's that?
Oh, credit tech for having an actual, when you say tech and you're talking about a team, I always think Virginia Tech anyway.
Oh, but, yeah. So again, I mean, we've talked about this. We've talked about, you know, the experience, the youth on this team, the injuries, the lack of depth. You know, we've talked about all that, and we're in a situation now where we're shorthanded, and Red is dealing with, you know, he's dealing with a short deck. You know, we don't have
a short, you know, what?
A short deck.
Oh, so I thought you said.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry. Dude, it's not a personal dig at you, man. Don't get all, you hear the word short and all of a sudden you get all offended. Stop.
I know. Jeez.
But I'm saying is complex. That we know we have, this team has limitations. We understand that. And that's what sucks about the whole thing is we kind of know that we're going to get out rebounded. So we have to play a little bit different on defense. We got to take more chances, but we turn them over. We try to get to the free throw line
hit shots. You don't get killed that much on the boards.
I mean, that's true. That's true. I mean, that's part of it, but
that was why we kept it so close against UNC. We're hitting shots. By the way, there was a couple sequences where Georgia Tech got two or three offensive boards. I mean, opportunities were there.
Yeah, and they dared us to shoot threes.
Yeah.
They said, okay, well, Syracuse isn't a good three-point shooting team traditionally. You know, let's see if they can do what they did against North Carolina two games in a row.
Yeah.
And they took their chances, and it worked.
Okay, look, real quick as we can, because I got to wrap things up here. I got a house full of kids. Syracuse and NC State Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Okay, another 7 o'clock game. NC State coming off a big win last night. Watch this game. And 78-77 against Clemson. And Joe Girard, the player of that game, he, I think he had 25 or something like that. Played a great game. But still lost it by one at the end, and just wasn't enough at home. So, you know, NC State's a team that we beat earlier this year, 77-65, I think. Yeah. Starling, 26 points. Mintz, 20 points. Copeland, I think, had 5 points in that game or something like that. It wasn't, wasn't a game that that we're used to seeing from Copeland, I think, was a little different. But going into their place now, Joe, the all-time series sits at 13-6. But going into their place now, it seems like they've kind of got, you know, they beat Miami. They beat Georgia Tech. Then they go and they lose against Pitt at home and then at Wake Forest and then beat Clemson at Clemson. It's just like such a, talk about a very similar kind of, you know, win-loss issue with them, just inconsistent. So you never know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
And that's a little scary sometimes. So second time going in, you know, the one thing I'll say about this game and just throughout the year, I feel like Syracuse has been a bounce-back team. And, you know, I don't see them just rolling over for NC State. And we're going to see what happens, but I have faith that Syracuse can get back on track. I'm not by no means going to talk about, you know, tournament chances or hopes or anything like that, but just throughout the year, they've managed to put the loss behind them and move on. So I kind of expect that, but we shall see.
Yeah, it's, you know, on the road, I was kind of go off of whether or not we won the game yesterday and whether or not I was going to go to this game, because obviously it's in Raleigh. but I think I'm going to opt out. I've been there enough. We'll have enough fans. But who knows? I can get a ticket. Things can change. It's still 2 days away. But
I mean,
yeah, man. I mean, look, it's a situation where it's hard to really to judge one way or another. Like I said, we know we're shorthanded. We know we're young. I mean, could this be a situation where, I mean, going into the season, if we said that we were going to make the NITs and we were going to have a whatever, you know, win record, like, I mean, obviously there's people, and KenPom had us win going 9-22, right? So with the inexperience in some of the younger teams, I mean, it's happened a lot where you see teams that are younger and they don't make the NCAA tournament, but they go to the NITs and they do well there and they get a little bit of post, you know, postseason experience. And I know that the NIT is, you know, the redheaded stepchild of, you know, the NCAA tournament, but at least it would be something in the post game. You know, I mean, I have talked to some, there's some fans that are like, just, we want to see him in the postseason. Right. And just, you know, put it in a little bit of perspective. I know that they're looking at Pittsburgh and some of these other teams that are still like, got work left to do, and they got a little bit of a better resume, but we are only 1.5 games in the ACC standings away from being the fourth ranked team in the ACC, and top four get a double bye in the ACC tournament. So, I mean, we still have a shot. It's a long shot, but we still have a shot. Yesterday, closed that gap bad. We couldn't afford that, and we did. We lost, and we have to turn it around. We just can't just turn into a ball through the end of the year. We just can't do that. So hopefully, like what you said, they get their head out of their ass and they come back from this loss and beat a surging NC State team that is trying to get into the tournament. So that's really all I got.
Yeah, the Pitt is 47th in the net, and it's because they've won a lot of road games. They won 6 road games, which is probably why they're at where they're at,
right,
in the net. But 47th in the net, I mean, that's up there. Anyway, we'll see what happens Tuesday. But I just hope they go out and fight. It's not the team I don't think to just roll over and take it. Let's put it that way. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
So, all right. Well, that. He's going to do it. Sorry to cut it short. We're limited on time. We got a late start. Lucky to just get here and do it. So I appreciate everybody for listening. We will see you Wednesday. All right. Appreciate y'all. For Joe, Sean, we're out.
Peace.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.